This is Prophet Calvin Ward. I want to thank you for visiting the site, and I want you to sit back and tune in and listen to the following message entitled, Discerning the Real Apostle from the Fake Apostle. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the message. This is Prophet Calvin Ward. Let's get to the matter at hand here. Today, there is an issue in the body of Christ. It is a huge issue that is in the body of Christ, and that issue is concerning the office of the apostle. And so what has happened is today we have apostles just raising up everywhere. And so we have people teaching on the apostolic. We have people saying, well, this is the mark of an apostle. This is the mark of a prophet. Well, this is how you know someone is an apostle. And the danger that it has created was now God has to raise up a standard in the midst of all this confusion that has been placed out there, because now, you know, we have people out there who are just saying, well, I'm this and I'm that. Well, what are the marks of your calling? How do we know that you are what we are? And so also being in this generation full of knowledge and full of information, what has happened is anybody and their mother can go and get a book and get on the internet and look up, you know, any information and all kinds of information on whatever they seek that they want to be. So you can have someone who said, oh, I'm an apostle. They buy their ordination offline. They go get some silly person to ordain them. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're reading up books and saying, oh, I'm an apostle. God called me to be an apostle. And then they go get these books and read it. And now they're supposed to be an authority on the apostolic or on being called to be an apostle. But the issue with that and the art that God has with that in this time and in this season is that there is a danger to the abundance of books and knowledge. There is a danger to having an abundance of books, because now the danger is that anybody can pick up a book and claim to have the authority of God on their life. So now you have people who sound like apostles. They look like apostles. They teach like apostles, and they can even have some of the works like apostles, because just because you can do some signs and some miracles and some wonders, or let me rephrase that, just because you can have some of the signs of the apostleship does not mean that you are an apostle. So what is the mark of apostleship? And we have people, you know, we thank God for people who have given us clarity on those offices, but you know, in the 80s and the 90s, you know, we have an abundance of people, and we read the books by Peter C. Wagner, and we read the books by Bishop Bill Hammond. And then, you know, even today we have people adding books and adding information to contribute to the body of knowledge concerning the prophetic. We have, you know, Dr. Price. So we have a lot of people adding information and contributing to it. But even with those books and all of those authors that I just said, what happens is people pick up this information and they try to obey, or they try to fashion themselves or fashion their ministry out of the information that's in these books. But the Holy Ghost would have you to know that when has God ever needed a book to tell you or to instruct you on how to do the office that you say he called you to? And that's what we're going to get into, because God has an art with that. God says, I do not have need of any book to try to instruct you on what I called you to do. When we look at the Bible, God did not call Paul to the apostleship and then said, okay, now, Paul, now I want you to go to the store and buy every book by Paul or Price, and I want you to read up on the prophetic and the apostolic. God did not call Barnabas and Peter and say, okay, now I'm calling you to the apostolic. Now what I want you to do is go down to the store and buy every book on the apostolic and prophetic evangelist and on the teacher and on the pastor by Bishop Bill Hammond and by Peter C. Wagner and by all these other authorities out there. He did not tell them to go get a book by Joyce Myers, go down the road and go to the bookstore and get all of these different self-help books, because all the power is in the Holy Ghost. And what we have done, we don't walk by faith anymore. We walk by books. And so what we see is a resurgence of the spirit of Simon Magus. Simon Magus in the Bible was a sorcerer. And if we do the history on Simon Magus, we will find out that he had and he started what is known as a Gnostic sect. And that's what we're going to talk about too, a Gnostic sect. The word gnosis, which is used in the word hypnosis to purge knowledge or to go down in the depths to get knowledge that is not on the surface. The word gnosis is knowledge. It was a sect. That word was associated, and it was also used to name a certain group of people or a sect of Christianity called Gnostic Christianity. So in a nutshell, these people believed in salvation through the ability to gain knowledge, salvation through knowledge, and not salvation by faith alone. So that's what they believe. And so what the church is in today, you don't invite people to your church because, oh, they've raised the dead. Oh, this person is powerful in the spirit. Oh, this person hears the word of the Lord. Oh, this person has a track record with the Lord that we can follow. They are anointed. No, we don't invite people to our churches because of that. You inviting people to your churches now because of their title, because they have a doctorate, because of the amount of information that they know, because of the associations that they are with. That's why you invite people. So now we have the church being caught up in a Gnostic sense. And so most of what we call in the church, and we call it the preaching of the gospel, it is just the preaching of Gnostic teachings. So the church has turned back into this Gnostic vein. So now we have a bunch of people who are calling themselves preachers, they're calling themselves teachers, they're calling themselves apostles, they're calling themselves prophets, and all they are doing is pushing out information and pushing out knowledge and pushing out systems and pushing out strategies and pushing out mechanisms and sounding so worldly. Now they're, you know, we're strategic life coaches and we are motivational speakers and this, that, and the other, and there's nothing wrong with that if it's done in the correct way. But now people are teaching the body of Christ, and instead of coming in power, they come with an abundance of intellect, and or which can be likened to vain philosophy. And God has an issue with that, and God has a problem with that. And in 2011, he's going to cut all that down, because God says, when did I ever call anybody to go to the library and read up on what I've called you to do? And the evidence that you have to read, the evidence that anybody has to read an abundance of books, an overabundance of books, just to be told on how to operate in the gifting that they're in, is the evidence that God really did not call you to what he called you, say he called you to. Or on the flip side, it's an evidence that you are walking in a title and a position that God has not fully birthed you out in yet. And what happens is when you go and get all these books and get all these information, and see, this is how I know that a lot of people who calling themselves apostles are not really apostles, and a lot of people who calling themselves prophets are not really prophets, because when God saves you and God calls you to a calling, God is the number one human resource manager. God sends you to a mentor. And see, what we have today is people are pimping the revelation of God. God gave revelation to those apostles in those 40 days when he went up to the heavens, and those apostles, you know, that group that was with them, and he showed them many different visions and he showed them different revelations. That revelation and those revelations that he showed them was to be disseminated through the apostles to the people. It was not all to just be placed into a book and sold so anybody can have access to it. And what we have today is a bunch of apostles and prophets who are profiting off of the revelation of the Lord. And I can tell that they are not true apostles and prophets, because a true apostle and prophet is a, they are a protector of the arcana. They are a protector of the wisdom of the revelation that God gives them, because they know there is a price to be paid to be able to keep this revelation and to be able to impart it to somebody else. And the method of God is the doctrine, or the method of impartation. And when he calls you, the first thing, his method of teaching and raising you up in your gifting is sending you to another man who is already operating in it, so they can impart to you, and so that you can learn some life lessons, not going to a book and learning a system or a strategy out of a book. God sends you to a human, to a person, so that you can be taught, that you can be discipled, that you can be raised up. And God showed us this when he showed us this when he, in the book, raised up his 12 apostles. The first thing he did was grab his 12 apostles and he taught them. He raised them up. And then they went out and taught others and imparted to them. So we have an abundance of people today that are selling revelation. They're putting it in books so they can make a name for themselves, not knowing that the revelation that God gives you as a prophet and as an apostle is not for everybody. Even when you study the ancient mystery schools and you look at the philosophers like Socrates, Socrates was killed because he had revolutionary ideas. Christ was killed because of his revolutionary ideas. This is why Christ said, do not give pearls to swine. And so if the revelation and the wisdom and knowledge cannot be trusted with the apostle and the prophet, who can it be trusted with? And the evidence that some of these people are not called is the abundance that they want to put out all this revelation, and they want to make money off of what God has shown them. And that is not the spirit of the Lord. And so what we want to do now, even in the abundance of books that are claiming that these are the marks of apostleship and that these are the marks of prophethood, what we're going to do, we're going to go to the scriptures, and I'm going to stick right in the Bible, and I'm going to help you to recognize what the Bible says and what did Paul say about being an apostle. What did Paul say the marks were? Because people claim that, oh, the marks of an apostle is, you know, the fact that I have a big church, the fact that I can start a business, the fact that I have many ministries under me, the fact that, you know, they're traveling the world and they're doing this and doing that. But that's the mark of a businessman. And so what has happened in this day, businessmen and anybody that gets a little piece of money and say, I got some money, I want to get me a website, get an incorporation started, get a business started, publish some books, do some things, and they expand their business. Now they're trying to equate that with an apostolic anointing, and the devil is a lie because that is not it. And so there now is a reason, or there's of a necessity, to be able to delineate what the world and what the church has now called signs of the apostleship. We now must go in, and God must go in, and that's what he's doing right now. God must go in and between and cut a line of demarcation and rightly divine the word of truth to separate that these are the ones that I call from the ones that the church has deemed. So they are what I call ecclesiastical apostles, because they are apostles that the church has ordained and the church has raised up. And so you're good about yourself and you travel and you preach and you teach and you think you have some authority on your life. But it's not about that. When an apostle goes somewhere, an apostle loves the church. An apostle loves to lay hands. And there is an authority that's on the apostle that is felt in the whole house, even when an apostle is speaking, even when they are in the room. Right now, we're going to go to the scriptures. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, what I want you to do is we're going to read up in here. There's a, now in this one that's titled, and I'm coming out of the Maxwell Leadership Bible, John C. Maxwell Leadership Bible. This is in the New King James Version. This is in the New King James Version. So I'm going to read here. Now, I'm going to talk about now Paul and false apostles. He starts to talk about this in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to start around verse 7. Paul said, "Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted?" An apostle is not always trying to be. There's a reciprocated dichotomy here. An apostle is not always trying to be at the top, though they are at the top. Now, he says, because I preach the gospel to you free of charge, that is another mark of an apostle. An apostle does not want to be a burden to the body. And though the church might bless them, anybody that comes to you saying, this is what I charge, this is what I am charging coming to you from the get, that's another evidence that, look, God has not sent them. One of the things that Christ told the apostles was, freely you have received, so freely you shall give. No one is to charge an honorarium before they come to speak to you. Now, people who work as public speakers and people who work as motivational speakers and life coaches do that. But in the gospel, no apostle and no prophet who comes to you to speak or to teach and to share the word but says, you have to pay me this amount first before I come, that's the evidence that God did not call them, and they're operating out of their own spirit. Paul said, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. Other churches supplied and backed him when he went other places. That's another evidence of being an apostle. Churches back you. People send you to other places. So people say, I need you here, I need you there, and they will send you there. And he says, when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one, for what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. There was an abundance in the brethren. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Archaia. Now, let's go over to verse 19. Paul says, for you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. Well, you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. What was Paul saying here? Paul was saying, you know what? I'm not on TV. He says, you know what? I don't have like 30 books. I'm not on TV. But he said, you know, God called me to do this office. And he said, now we come to you in power. Indeed, we come to you with the evidences. But he said, now we come to you in freedom. We come sharing this word. We're not burdensome to you. But you would rather receive the person that causes you grief by charging you $10,000 just to come to preach the word and then raise an offering and take out of your pockets. You would rather have these people that preach prosperity and preach all of everything in the gospel other than Christ and him crucified. And other than the blood of Jesus and salvation, and other than the precepts that are in this Bible concerning the mysteries and revelation of salvation. He said, you would rather have those people come put you in bondage. And he said, but you know, maybe it's our fault because we was too weak when we came to you. But he said, nevertheless, guess what? If they are bold, he said, I am also bold. Also, now I'm going to get into the qualifications here, and what we want to do, I'm going to read some things. I'm going to start at same chapter, chapter 11, and Paul said in verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? He says, I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes with a garrison designed to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Paul began to glory in his infirmities and in the persecutions. And we see here that the Bible tells us that, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul began to glory in his persecutions because these were the marks. These were the marks. He knew that these were the marks that God called him. These were the marks that God called him. His countrymen were against him. He was always in perils. Why? Because the power of what he was doing, and what he was doing was tearing up some bondages and strongholds in the spirit realm, and all of the demonic realm was warring against him. And he was glorying in these things because it is the persecutions and trials that you go through that are your marks, that are your marks. Now, we're going to go down and continue to look at some more evidences of his apostleship. We're going to go to chapter 12 in 2 Corinthians, and he says, and lest, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, lest I should be called successful, lest I should be called great, lest I should be called wise, a sage. He says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. So what God does, he gives a thorn in the flesh to an apostle. So apostles, everybody else can be totally delivered, but guess what? You are going to have a thorn in your flesh because God, because of the abundance of revelations and visions and what he's causing you to do, unless you get beside yourself, he wants to humble you. So an apostle has a thorn in his flesh, and he also has a messenger of Satan that is assigned to him to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. So we see apostles have a thorn in the flesh, and apostles have a messenger of Satan assigned to them. And then let's move down to verse 11, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. He says, I've become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly, and what he says, the most eminent apostle, of course, because he's an apostle to the Gentiles. Then it says, verse 12, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. These and these alone, if there's any preeminent evidence or any preeminent factors to tell, say, is this an apostle? The number one preeminent factor are signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. And signs, wonders, and mighty deeds are not getting a huge building or starting a church from scratch or having 20,000 ministries under you. Signs, wonders, and mighty deeds are just what they are, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. You're talking about three classifications that fall under miracles. And then he says, for what is it in which you were inferior to the other churches except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. So we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 12, it outlines to us, and Paul lets us know that these are the marks of an apostle. And that's why he went through it, because he was addressing the false apostles. And what he called the false apostles were people who had a bunch of information and a bunch of knowledge, a bunch of strategic tactics, but they got before the people, and the people loved them. The people loved to hear them, wanted to be like them. And what happens is when you get people who are operating out of this spirit, this Gnostic spirit, what happens is people are drawn to them. And we take God and the Holy Ghost, and we put it in a pattern. We put God and reduce him down to step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and we reduce all of his gifts down to a method in a book somewhere. And now people are not walking by faith in the Spirit of God and letting God walk out their salvation in them with fear and trembling, because there's no need for them to learn, because they bought your whole course on how to be this, how to be that. Let's not get it twisted. Education is awesome. Education is needed, but not to the abundance that we need to be taught each and every iota of what to do in our gifting. There needs to be room there left for God to come in and lead us. And this is why, as a prophet, I bless the Lord, because I look around and I see other people, and I've stayed away from an abundance of reading books and doing this and doing that. And God has birthed this ministry out in me, and I can trust the purity of the word that he has given me. And I'm encouraging you to do the same thing. Let God lead you. Minimize the books that you read. Try to read at least once a month, if that. But minimize the books that you read on giftings. Read books and information, go to school, take classes, do all of that. But do not let a book dictate to you what you are supposed to do in your office. God dictates to you what you're supposed to do in your office. A primary example of that is that prophets, you know, come to exhort. I see a lot of prophets come places and they talk about exhortation, and they talk about, you know, encouragement and exhortation, but they never talk about that the prophet comes even when no one else is hearing it. He has to declare what God is saying, and sometimes people are not going to like that. But you don't hear people emphasizing that when you have to preach and teach judgment, when you have to prophesy against your own countrymen, when you have to prophesy against your own family, against your own priests, against your own kings, we don't talk about that. We don't prepare that side of the apostle and the prophet. Right now, let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, because this is another main function of the apostle and the prophet in these last times. And in this lesson, I'm zooming in on the office of the apostle. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 8. And verse 8 says, and I read, again, New King James Version, and verse 8 says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the ages." Now, here it is. "From the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places." So when we see this here, what we understand is that the apostles and prophets of every age are called to reveal the mysteries and truths which were always there in God from the beginning, but are now released, are now called to be released at the present time and at the present age in which those apostles and prophets are manifested. Apostles and prophets are called to release new revelations and new information that will propel the church, that will also coincide with the general revelation that has already been revealed. But they have an authority from God to do so. So the apostle, now that we see that the apostle, and we see some real qualifications for the apostle, also some other indicators of the apostleship that we need to know are that apostles have an authority on them and a presence on them that you feel. They have an anointing that precedes them. They have an anointing that is felt in the atmosphere. It precedes them. You understand what I'm saying? So people coming around you, and see, that's how you can tell. God has made this easy for us to know those who labor among us. Apostles have an authority on them. Apostles desire order, but apostles are very humble. See, having authority is not matched with, oh, because you're bold and you pimping and walking like a peacock, you know, on the pulpit and talking, you know, with what seemingly is a powerful or authoritative, you know, tone of voice and mode of speech that you're in. That's not authority. Moses had some authority and power with God, but the Bible also says that he was very, very humble. What we will see in apostles is that they are also themselves very humble, and their humility, very humble, because they're also very powerful. Because when God has given you so much, you can't help but say, God, Let me take the lower seat. And so people who are always trying to be up front, people who are always trying to be seen, you know, because people who are always trying to push, pump, and prime themselves, these are people that we need to stay away from. And we are not to equate the sharing of revelation, and we are not to equate, you know, judgmental characteristics and the sharing of the word of God, because the word of that convicts and that judges, we're not to equate that with something negative or like that's not from God. Apostles and prophets, he's called us to release information, to release the revelation, but also to judge. We are the mouthpieces for the Lord concerning the revelation that he is releasing and concerning what the body and what everyone else can catch in the spirit and take, and then it gets kind of broken down so that the body can really digest it and then metabolize it in their respective areas. Somewhere recently, and there was an apostle, and she was a female, and she was really teaching and preaching on the authority and power and all this and all the information. It was word. It was powerful. She was anointed. It was word. But what I found kind of funny was the fact that she was out of order, because by nature, an apostle is not to be a female, nor is a bishop to be a female. But she seemed to skip over that fact, and now she's an apostle. So she, walking in authority, was out of authority herself. And so people look and say, oh, well, did the Bible say that? The Bible doesn't say women can't be the apostles. But in the spirit realm, in Corinthians, Paul tells us that the head of woman is man, and the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. So in the spirit realm, that's how it is. The spirit realm is eternal. Having said that, God is not a God of confusion. God would not allow a woman to hold a title where in the vicariousness of her title would usurp authority over the man, because the man would have to be submitted to her spiritual authority. That's why apostles and bishops are men. They were called to be men, 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 men. Now, people have their different doctrines on that, but the point of the matter is this: apostles are like infantrymen. And in any army, women are not on the front line. Why? Physiologically speaking, there are some things that God has done and how he has designed men and women and our purposes. And our purposes. There are some things that he has done that we need to... Well, this is Prophet Calvin Ward. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. I want to thank you for stopping by the site. Please send me an email. Look at the blog. Leave a comment. Or just send me a message. It's key to me that I know that you are getting something from these messages, and if this message helped you out or was empowering to you, I want to know about it. So stay tuned. This has been Prophet Calvin Ward, PCJG Ministries.